Okay, great. You can be turning, by the way, to Ephesians 5, would be great. And then go to the book of Ephesians. We're going to be there quite a bit tonight, the book of Ephesians. And if you want to, you could also grab Romans 13. Romans 13 would be good. If you could grab Romans 13, and then the main place will be is Ephesians, but we'll go to Romans 13 first. Romans 13 first. We've been discussing how to make marriage work. A lot of times marriage doesn't work simply because couples try to build their marriage on a wrong foundation. And we spent the first week of this series talking about some of the wrong foundations that people lay in marriage. And then we came back and we began to see what the right foundation is. And we saw that in marriage, you've got male and female. And they're, are they equal in value? Yes or no?
Yes.
But are they the same? No, we don't want to make the mistake of thinking that equality is sameness, because it's not. Equality is not sameness. You can be equal in value, but be different. And that's the point. God created them male and female. You're different than your spouse, but that doesn't mean you're better than them. You are equal, but you have different roles in the marriage relationship. Equality does not mean sameness. So you got to understand that. We looked at the core roles in marriage. We looked at the husband's core role. And we saw that the husband's core role in marriage is to provide godly, Christ-like leadership for his family, for his wife. He used to be a godly leader. He's provide godly leadership for his home. And we are to lead our wives and our children as Christ would. We're to love them as Christ loved the church. And so we are to have a style of leadership that Jesus employed. And what was his style of leadership? Can you remember? Servant slash leader. And that's the kind of leadership we're to have. We are to be servant leaders in our homes. And we looked at what every wife needs to succeed. We looked at not only the man's core role, but what should be his core concerns. And we saw four things that should be the core concerns of a man in marriage. And then we came back and we looked at the woman's core role in marriage. And we saw that her core role is she's a nurturer and she is a supporter and she is there to love her husband and love her children. And the best way she can do that is by being there for them. And then we saw what the core concerns of the wife should be concerning her husband last week. And we looked at those things. And so we come now to where we understand the right foundation, and that is we're not the same. We have different roles. We saw what the roles were. We saw what the core concerns of the husband should be, what the core concerns of the wife should be. Now we're going to delve into some other, kind of some sideline issues, but important issues. And tonight, I am going to dare to tackle a subject of the subject of submission. I am going to do that. I'm hoping nobody has any rotten tomatoes out there they're going to throw at me, or any stones or anything like that. But I want to tackle this subject, and the first statement in your handout is very, very important, and that is this: submission is a Bible word. First of all, it's a Bible word, so it's a good word, and it's a God-ordained concept. Now let's get that. Let's get that tucked away. Submission is a what? We got to get that. It's a Bible word. Number two, it's a what? God-ordained concept. Now, let me ask you a question. Is submission something isolated to marriage, or is submission something all throughout society? It's all throughout society. You see, everywhere in society, God has established authority. Because God's a God of order. He's a God of authority. And God expects submission to that authority. For example, you're in Romans 13. Let me show you this. Romans 13, this applies to everybody, male and female. It says, let every soul, notice the word here, be subject unto the higher powers. That's submission. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. What's he talking about there? What kind of powers is he talking about? Does anybody know? Government. That's right. I want you to write that in your handout there. Well, I'm sorry. No, it's not in your handout. Is it? All right. Governmental authority. We see in the Bible that God teaches us that we are to submit to governmental authority. Now, naturally, if they ask you to do something against the Bible, that's different. But we are to submit to the laws of the land. We're to submit to the authority that's there. Paul taught the same thing in Titus 3:1. He said, put them in mind to be subject. Now, there's the word again, subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Now, I'm to be subject, the Bible says, to magistrates. I'm to be subject to principalities. I am to live a life of submission to that governmental authority that God has put in place. 1 Peter 2:13 teaches the same thing. But then there's another area where we see it, and it's in your handout, and that is parental authority. God has established parental authority. You're in Ephesians. Go back over to Ephesians now. I told you to grab the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 6:1. Ephesians 6:1. It says, children, is everything muted, Mike, but me? Okay. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor, it's ringing. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Make sure the bees are off, and it's echoing and ringing. I don't know why it is tonight. Something's not set right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what, church? It's right. It's just the right thing to do. Colossians 3:20 says the same thing. It says, children, listen, kids, teenagers, this is you too. Children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So God has established governmental authority. God has established parental authority. Look in your handout and get the next one. God has established church authority. Church authority. How about this one? Hebrews 13:17. I'm going to read it to you for time's sake. You want to know what the first word is? Obey. Well, who am I to obey? Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. What's he talking about? Listen, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. He's speaking of the leadership there in the local church. If you go up to Hebrews 13:7, you get the context where he talks about that. He says to submit to those who have spoken unto you the word of God. Now again, that doesn't mean you give me blind allegiance. That's not what it's saying. That doesn't mean you follow me off a cliff if I jump off a cliff, you know. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about blind allegiance. But I'm talking about the having that submissive attitude towards those that God has put in our lives as spiritual authority in our lives. We're to have a submissive attitude as long as they're not asking us to do something that would be contrary to the Word of God. God has established church authority. Paul taught the same thing. He said, we beseech you, brethren, know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. I mean, I know people who think nothing. They think nothing of rebelling against governmental authority. I know kids that think nothing of back-talking their parents, sassing their parents, speaking evil of their parents, just being rebellious against. They think nothing of it. I mean, there are people that they think nothing of talking against spiritual authority in their life. and just ripping the pastor or ripping the youth pastor or ripping, you know, whoever it is. And they think nothing of just tearing down church authority. Let me tell you something right now, friend. One of the biggest mistakes you can ever make is to criticize people up at the church, especially those in authority, in front of your children. Big mistake. Big mistake. Because when you talk freely in front of your children like that, let me tell you something. I've noticed one thing about my kids. They got good ears. They got really good ears. And they listen up. And when I'm bad-mouthing, and Denise and I follow this principle too, when I'm bad-mouthing spiritual authority in front of my kids, you know what? You know what ends up happening? Then your kids grow up and have no respect at all for authority. They have no respect. So then when they begin to rebel as a teenager or they begin to have problems, you think, well, man, why can't the youth pastor help them? Because they don't respect him. Because you've talked bad about him. They don't respect the pastor because they've heard you talk bad about him. You just do a little bit more now, Mike. I can't hear it all. That's the problem with that thing. It's when we have a rebellious attitude. You see, not only that, go to Ephesians 6. You're already there, Ephesians 6. And notice verse 5. Notice how there's also, this isn't in your notes, but there's also a thing called authority in the workplace. There's authority God's established in the workplace. If you look at verse 5, he says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ." As unto Christ. He says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. And so God has established authority out there in the workplace. Not only that, go back to Ephesians 1 and notice that there's also ultimate total authority over the church by Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians 1 and verse number 20. Ephesians 1:20. It says, "Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come." And notice this verse 22. "And hath put," and what's the next two words? "All things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things," thank you, "to the church." So now who has got ultimate authority over the church, the body of Christ? Jesus Christ. By virtue of his resurrection and his exaltation at the right hand of the Father, he has ultimate authority over the church, the body of Christ. And we are to submit to his authority. Notice it says there in verse 22, "He hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head." Remember what head means? What does head mean? Head means that you're the what? You're the leader. Okay? He's the leader. He's the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So now look up here. There's human authority in the local church. There's pastors and there's deacons. And there's spiritual authority on a human level that we are to have a submissive attitude towards. But then there's also Christ's ultimate authority over the church, the body of Christ. So what am I saying? What am I up here talking about? Well, what I'm saying is authority is everywhere. Authority is everywhere. And it's all throughout society. And so in your handout it says the biblical principle of authority and submission. The biblical principle of authority and submission are also found in marriage. Are also found in marriage. Look at Ephesians 5. Go over there. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5:23. "For the husband is the what? head of the wife. Does that mean that he's her boss? That's not what that means. It means that he's the what? He's the leader. Even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject, notice the principle of submission here, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So we see the principle of submission, right? Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Go to Colossians chapter 3 and stay here in Ephesians. We're going to go back, but go to Colossians chapter 3. All right, Colossians chapter 3. Mike, can I have one touch more? Just a touch. Colossians 3, verse 18. It says, "Their wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit." And what's the last three words? In the Lord. In your handout, it says that submission is a wonderful Christian virtue that applies to every Christian in many different ways. Submission is a wonderful Christian virtue that applies to every Christian in many different ways. For instance, go back to Ephesians 5. Let me show you a verse that men tend to skip over a lot. Ephesians 5, right before he says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord," look what he says in verse 21. Let's not leave out verse 21. Okay, let's read it together. Ready? Let's read together. Verse 21, Ephesians 5, 21. Ready? Read. "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Who does that include? Every believer. Are we all to have a spirit of submission? Absolutely. Is submission a godly attribute? Yes, it is. Submission, remember the very first statement in your handout? Submission is a what? It's a Bible word, and it's a God-ordained concept. I'll give you another example. Do we have 1 Peter 5 on the screen? All right, let's bring it up. It says here, he's writing to believers, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder." He's talking about those who are older in Christ now, not necessarily age-wise. But he says, "Yea, all of you," now look at this, all of you, "be subject one to another." And notice what it takes to do that. Be clothed with humility. "For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." Some guys think that submission is only found in regards to the marriage relationship. The principle of submission applies to every Christian, male and female. Submission is a Bible word and a God-ordained concept. That's what I want you to get tonight, is I want you to see this, that submission isn't something that's just found in the marriage relationship. We are to have a submissive heart one to another in the fear of God. We are to be subject one to another as we are clothed with humility. Now, who would be our ultimate example of a submissive spirit? Yes, go with me. You're in Ephesians, right? Let's go to Philippians. Ephesians, Philippians, next book. Philippians chapter 2. I really kind of want to just set the stage here tonight for this. And then we'll find out the wonderful things that it does in a marriage. Okay, when this attitude is there. But I want you to see the attitude. I want you to see that it's a mindset. I expect my pastors, I expect us to have a submissive heart. I expect us to have a servant's heart and to be clothed with humility and to have a spirit of submission. That's something I need as a pastor. That's something that you need as a husband. That's something, of course, that the wives we're going to talk about need also. But I want you to see right now the big overall concept here, that submission's a great thing. It's a godly thing. It's a wonderful thing. There's nothing bad about it. We don't have to be hesitant to talk about it. It's a biblical thing. Look at Philippians 2 now. And let's look at Christ and see how Christ even had a spirit of submission. Verse 6. It says, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Question, was Jesus God? Yes. So he was equal in every essence of the Word. Now, his function wasn't the same as the Father. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit have different functions. They're not the same, they're different. Okay? But yet, they are equal. They're co-equal. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit are co-equal. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Okay? Verse 7. But made himself, look at that, made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Now look at that. What did he take on him? He took on him the form of what? Servant. Verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, there it is right there. That's the key to submission. He what? Humbled himself. And he became obedient unto death. Notice the word obedient. Was he God? But yet he became what? Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's pretty amazing. That's amazing stuff right there. But you want to know what the kicker is about that? The kicker in that is verse 5. Okay? Let this mind be where? In you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That means that the same attitude of submission that my Savior had to the Father in all things, I'm to have that same mind. It's really quiet in here tonight. It's convicting, isn't it? Go back to John, chapter number 4. The Gospel of John, chapter 4. And notice here, John 4. John 4:34. Now look at the attitude. I want you to look at the mental attitude of Christ. Okay? John 4:34. Now keep in mind, the whole world was created by Him and for Him. I want you to remember this now. The world was created by Him and for Him. He was the center of the bullseye. Everything revolved around Him. Everything was about Christ. But yet look, when He came to the earth, the mental mindset that He had. Look at verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will, not of myself. He said, My meat's to do the will of who? Him that sent me. And to finish, say it with me, His work. Go to John 5. John chapter 5, verse 30. Let's continue looking here at the mindset of Christ. John 5, 30. He said, I can of mine own self do nothing. Whew. Talking about humility. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. Because I seek not, look at this, man, if we just took that one verse and live that way in our marriage, it'd change our marriages. If I didn't give you another verse, if I just said, both of you, go home, read John 5:30, and live like Christ did, have the mental attitude of Christ, it would change our marriages. He said, I seek not mine what? Own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. So many times we fight and fuss and argue in marriage because neither one wants to give in. I don't want to give in to Denise, and she doesn't want to give in to me. And so it's a standoff. It's the standoff at the OK Corral. Me against her. And we don't have the mental attitude of Christ when we're that way. Look at John 6. Go to the next chapter. John 6, verse 38. Look at the mental attitude of Christ. John 6, 38. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. Did Christ's submission have anything to do with equality, yes or no? No. Was he equal with the Father in essence and in being? Yes. But yet he submitted. And by the way, as a result, you know what happened after he was obedient to the cross? The Bible says God highly exalted him and gave him a name that's above every name. Now listen closely. When we rebel against the biblical attitude of submission, we are manifesting a non-Christ-like spirit. Let me say that again. When we rebel against the biblical attitude of submission, we are exhibiting a non-Christ-like spirit. If we are rebellious, and I'm not just talking about marriage, if we are rebellious towards spiritual authority at church, that's not Christ-like. When we're rebellious towards civil authority, that's not Christ-like. When we have a rebellious attitude towards parents, that's not Christ-like. When we have a rebellious attitude at work and we like to cause problems at work and we like to talk about the boss behind his back and we like to try to get things going and get people all worked up, that is not Christ-like. When you have a rebellious attitude towards teachers at school and you talk about that authority in your life behind their back, that is not Christ-like. It's not Christ-like. Folks, listen. Who is the author of rebellion? Who is the author of lawlessness? Satan's the author of rebellion. He's the author of lawlessness. Satan hates the concept of authority. He can't stand somebody that understands the biblical concept of authority and submission. He can't stand that because Satan, the entire premise of what he's doing, is built on rebellion and it's built on lawlessness. And Satan loves it when he can get teenagers to rebel against their parents. He loves it when he can get people disgruntled with their church leadership and get them talking and bad-mouthing and mad and bitter. He loves it when people rebel against the laws of the land and when they rebel against the authority that's there. He loves it because he's the author of rebellion. He's the author of lawlessness. And when we manifest a problem with biblical submission, we're being non-Christ-like. It's that simple. It's that simple. When your authority maybe has to rebuke you at work, what's the right attitude? Just be submissive. Just take it, learn from it, grow, and go on. When your parents have to rebuke you, teenagers, what's the right attitude? Submission. Take it, learn, grow, become better. You see, here's the problem. A lot of women recoil at the very mentioning of the word submission. And here's why. In your handout, it says it's simply because they do not possess a proper understanding of this wonderful Christian attribute. That's why. The only reason why a woman would have a problem with that word submission is because they don't understand. They just don't have a biblical concept. And in all fairness, many times it's because of men who have misused the word. They've abused the word, you know, and they're going to take out the submission and use it as a billy club to try to get their wife to do what they want them to do. And a lot of guys have so abused the whole concept and they've so misused it that it's turned a lot of women off. But the only reason why a woman would have a problem with that whole concept is because they don't understand what a godly Christian virtue that it is. Not just for a woman, for a Christian. It's a godly Christian virtue. It's an attribute that all of us should possess. And when a woman recoils at the thought of having just a heart of submission within the framework of the family, it's because she doesn't understand how precious it is to God. She doesn't understand how Christ-like it is. She doesn't understand how much like Jesus that it is when we have a submissive heart and a submissive spirit. And as I said, sometimes in all fairness, it's because men have just totally misused and abused it. And so, you know, she's allowed that to get her to where now she's got a kind of a rebellious heart and a rebellious spirit. But what I want to do is I want to look into God's Word, see, and I want us to see, I want us to bring some clarity. I want us to get some insight to the biblical principle of submission. Now, let me say this again, and I want to reiterate this. Submission is not the woman's core role in marriage. Her core role is not just to submit. Okay? Her core role is active. It's vibrant. It's contributing. And we saw her core role. It's so necessary to the functioning of the home. It's so necessary for the husband and the children that she function in that core role. She's got such an incredible value and contribution to the home. Her core role isn't submit. No, her core role is something active and vibrant. You say, well, what's submission? Submission's her response to his role. It's a response. It's not her core role. It's a response to his core role. Remember, what's his core role? His core role is leadership. And so her attitude, her mindset, when she gets the mindset of Christ, that is a response, see, to his core role. By the way, there's a biblical response he's to have to her core role. So I want you to get the picture. We saw the core roles. We saw the core concerns of each one. Now we're going to see what the biblical response is to each other's role. And we're going to see what the woman's godly response is to her husband's role. Then we're going to see what the godly response of the husband is to her role. Are you with me? So this is what we're going to look at. Now, you know, I with the new member presentation, I honestly just kind of wanted to just lay the foundation. And I wanted to real quickly before, and I'm not even going to try to get into all the points tonight. We're going to cover them all next week. Okay, every one of these we'll cover next Sunday night. And you're going to see, ladies, exactly what your response does in the marriage. It's amazing what your response will do in your marriage relationship. But now look up here and let's review. Okay? Submission. What did we say, number one? We said it is a what? It's a Bible word. Is it a good word? Is it a dirty word? No. Is it a God-ordained concept? Yes. Okay, true or false? Submission is just for the woman. False. Is submission all throughout society? Yes. We submit every day in some way or another. Hey, listen. They just took our speed limit on Reed Canal and took it from 35 to 30. I'm not happy about that. I drive Reed Canal every day of my life and have. We've lived in that house 16 years, and I've driven it about every day of my life for 16 years unless I was out of town. And I'm not happy about it at all, okay? And so, but you know what I have to do? I have to what? I got to submit. And boy, I'll kind of start gearing my car up. I'll start taking off, and then I'll be like, oh, and I'll bring it back. It hits me. And I remember, I tell you what, when you've driven one way 16 years, it's kind of hard to break the habit, you know. But I got to submit. You see, we submit every day of our life in some way. If you got a job and you're not the boss, you submit. Everywhere in society is submission. Let me ask you something. Parents, hey, mamas, do you want your kids to submit to you? Yes or no? Yes. Sure you do. You see, it's everywhere. True or false? Submission is a wonderful Christian virtue. True. Who is the ultimate example of a submissive attitude? Christ. So when I submit to the God-ordained authority in my life, who am I acting like? Christ. I'm exhibiting the mind of Christ. Next week, we're going to get into this deeper, and we're going to really look at what it does in a marriage when we have these godly attitudes. Okay, so keep your handout handy. Keep it in your Bible and bring it back with you next Sunday night.